This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm their number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88.
Welcome to episode 74 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I have a chat with my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, who popped in to see us for a visit. I decided to let Dalton pick the set list of songs today. So we're going to go to a conversation Dalton and I had sitting on my back porch on a beautiful spring day on Easter weekend 2022. I have a surprise guest host this week, and that is my wonderful grandson, Nicholas Dalton Rhodes.
That's right.
He came down from Western Carolina University, where he is ending his junior year. Dalton was my guest about a year and a half ago at Christmas time. We said a lot of silly things on that one, including him talking me into giving my impersonation of the talking donkey in the Bible, Balaam's donkey. We're not going to do that today.
I think the audience loved it.
The audience did love it, but it was at my expense. So welcome, Dalton.
It's good to be here. Thank you for the welcome.
Okay. Yeah, we need more than a nod when we're on radio. So now, several things have happened since you were with us before. You have experimented with a name change. Everybody was scared when I said experimented,
yeah,
that you were going to say something like drugs or something like that. But you sort of experimented with a name change. Now, in the Bible, there are situations like that. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Saul became Paul. Cephas became Peter. So you decided you wanted to move away from the name Dalton. And what name did you choose?
I chose my first name, which is Nicholas. And then I quickly found out that everybody's got the name Nick. And every friend group I had, there was always a Nick in it. It caused confusion. So I put myself in a rut because next thing you know, my whole campus knows me as Nick.
Now, what are you going to do now? What mood are you in today?
I'm in a Dalton mood.
So you're Dalton today?
Yeah.
And we said before in the other episode how much your grandma despised your name, your Kansas grandma. She would have been happy with Nick.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever tell that story?
I told that story.
The Dalton gang? Yeah.
Yeah, the most notorious bank robbers in Kansas history were the Dalton gang. And so when her daughter names her grandson Dalton, she was appalled. It's like naming someone in Indiana a Dillinger. It just wasn't great. So, Dalton. So it's Dalton now.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm trying to think what we're going to talk about here. You had another change happen since we were here before. You changed majors.
I did. Wow, this must have been a long time ago since the last.
It was a year and a half ago.
That's wild.
It's Christmas of 2020.
Whoa, that's like 2 years ago almost.
Yeah,
kind of ish. But yeah, I did a big switch from construction management to speech therapy. So like a complete 180 there.
Okay, speech therapy from managing houses, construction, to managing people's lips.
Ew, I don't like the sound of that. that doesn't sound right, does it?
So you actually prayed that God would lead you in the Bible to an answer.
Yeah.
And there's not a verse in the Bible that says, speech therapy, thou shalt go and learn speech therapy. So it wasn't specific. So what was the passage that you came to that led you?
So through some extensive research, we found the passage. It was in Romans chapter 12, and it starts at verse 6, and it reads, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. and if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so that just kind of gave like a good template for if you have this certain gift, then pursue it. It made it real simple. And so that kind of opened my eyes. I was like, well, I need to look at the gifts that I have. What kind of gifts do I have? And I figured out, you know, everyone says I'm pretty good with people, communicating with people and stuff. So I say, what kind of major would be like that? And then through research and talking to different friends, I came across speech therapy, and I've, like I said, I've loved it for both the semesters I've been in it so far.
That's great. And you will be good at it. Everybody knows you're a people person since you were a little boy. I remember people telling me that you were the only kid they knew that could carry on an intelligent conversation with adults, even when you were very small. So we are happy about that. We pray God's blessings on that. And maybe you could teach me how to speak a little bit more sophisticated without this country boy accent.
I don't know if any of the classes will teach me that.
Okay, that's enough of that. But when I moved to Massachusetts, I actually lost most of my southern accent. I've got videos of me preaching. I was there for 16 years. It took about 7 days, and I was speaking like Gomer Pyle after I moved down here. About 7 days, I lost it all and was back to the old country boy. So, what else is going on? What is God doing in your life, or what does He mean to you? What new kinds of things is He teaching you right now?
That's a tough question. Recently, I got this new job opportunity that I think is going to be really, really great for my major and stuff like that. I've been praying about that a lot. That's an answered prayer right there.
Okay. Working with people, I would assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you're going to several churches right now, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of bouncing around from church to church. I got different friends going to this church and that church. Right now, I'm kind of going to a church where it's called the Biltmore Church. It's near my campus. I'm going there with a group of friends every Sunday, and it's a little bit strange because the pastor's not actually there. He's on a screen every single Sunday. So it's kind of like you're watching a Zoom sermon just with a big crowd of Christians.
That's the big thing nowadays.
Yeah.
So Dalton, I asked you last night if you would like to be on the show with me today. And one of the things I asked you to do, which I've done on one other broadcast, is ask a friend to pick the song list. So I asked you to pick some songs for this episode, your favorite songs by your illustrious Big Paw. By the way, you're the one who told me that I was a borderline famous grandfather.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, he's like right there at the borderline. He's had a song sing on American Idol, which was cool and everything, and then he's got a gold record, but not a whole lot of people.
But
there's a but that makes it borderline.
Almost there, not quite.
But yeah, I know all of your songs. I'm probably your biggest fan, so I know all your songs.
I do like that about you because you have listened to my songs more than any of my children, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So. What's the first song we want to play on this show today?
I think the first song is going to be The Road Back Home.
Okay. And is there any reason you like that song?
I don't know. I just think it's groovy, man.
Groovy.
It's a groovy song.
That goes back to the 70s and 60s. Okay. We want to play the groovy The Road Back Home now.
The road back regrets that sin brought about. Why did I ever turn? Father waits for me with outstretched arms, he'd welcome me. Why did I ever walk away? The road back home, that's the road I must get on. Take me to the
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to a show called Me and My 88 Friends. People wonder what that means. Well, I'm a piano player, and there's 88 keys on a piano player. So Me and My 88 Friends, and we have other friends come and join us on the show regularly. Today, my surprised guest co-host is my grandson, Nicholas Dalton Rhodes, who today has chosen to go by the name Dalton. Tomorrow may be Nick. He can't, you know, the Bible talks about a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Yeah, it's a split personality type deal.
So he's trying to decide on a moniker or a name. So Dalton is picking the set list today. So we just heard The Road Back Home. What's your second song?
The second one's going to be There Goes a Real Christian Man.
Oh, you like that one, huh?
Has anyone ever heard that song on the show?
Oh, we play it on the show all the time.
It's a good one. It's just a marvelous song.
That song was written in 1972.
Wow, that's like last
a long time ago.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I was wandering around the country trying to find myself again. Stranded in Nebraska, needing some money, needing a friend. I was feeling sad and lonely as I stood beside the road, when a bald-headed man in a pickup truck, he picked me up and he took me home. There goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man. Well, I spotted a little New Testament laying on the dash by the radio, and I hadn't bathed in 5 or 6 days. I was hungry, tired, and cold, and I thought this man was kind of different. He took a tramp right off the street, and he said, "My name is Billy. Let me fix you something to eat when we get home." There goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man. Well, he told me Jesus loved me, how the Lord had changed his life. As we walked into the kitchen, he introduced me to his wife. He said, "As long as you're in
you'll always have a bed. Oh, I knew I'd met a Christian by the things he did and said. There goes a real Christian man. There goes a real Christian man. He's got a Bible in his hand, got love and he understands. There goes a real Christian man. Well, I stayed in town about a week or so, and then I got back on the road. And I never got saved, but 2 years later in a park in Buffalo. Well, I seen a lot of phonies, a lot of hypocrites telling lies. But I know I've seen one Christian, Billy, I'll love you till I die. Oh, there goes a real Christian man.
There we go, there we go.
There goes a real Christian man.
That was There Goes a Real Christian Man, which was picked out by my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, my 21-year-old grandson, who was now technically a man.
Man.
And he wants a song, There Goes a Christian Man, which I hope he'll always be. I hope I'll always be. We have no other plan B, do we, Dalton?
Of course not.
Will you tell the crowd what my name is to you? It's not grandfather. What is it?
It's Big Pa. And whenever I was a kid, I used to call him Pig Pa as a joke.
I weighed a few more pounds also than I do right now. But I guess you could still call me Big Pa.
Yeah.
But that's an old family nickname that goes back to the 1800s. People always call their grandfather Big Pa. That goes all the way back to the Kaufmans, who had immigrated over here from Germany. They were Jewish people that immigrated here in the early 1800s. So, Dalton, you're picking the song list, most of the song list today. Number three. You picked two already.
Well, you see, number three is my favorite song you've ever written, and that's because it's a song that's about me.
Oh!
It's dedicated to me. It's As Old As Me. That's the name of it.
And, I wrote that song for you.
Mm-hmm.
You used to live with us because your mom was a single mom for several years. And you and I would always have our little time together at night. You remember those?
Oh, right? Yeah. We'd pray and you'd tell Bible stories. And you told stories where you act out characters like donkeys. If you want to do that again, that was putting you on the spot.
Should I do this?
I think the audience loved it, Big Pa.
Okay, here's the story. In the book of Numbers, there was a false prophet named Balaam. Balaam was asked to put a curse on the nation of Israel by one of Israel's enemies, and he was offered a bunch of money. And he went to the God in prayer and said, "Can I do it?" And God said, "No, do not do it. Do not go with them. Don't even go with them to do a curse. Don't even give them the impression you're going to do it." Well, they kept dangling the money, and so he went back to God and says, "Come on, can I really go?" And God was angry and said, "Go ahead and go." But he was angry. And so Balaam's riding on his donkey that he's had for many years, and Balaam can't see what's ahead, but the donkey sees an angel there with a sword. And the angel's probably going to kill Balaam. So the donkey stops and won't go. And Balaam got very mad. And then the donkey tried to get around the angel and went over and pushed his foot into the wall, hurt his foot. Then Balaam got madder. And then finally, I think the donkey laid down. He might have laid down on top of him, or it's just laid down. And Balaam got so mad because he said, you're making a laughing stock out of me. He got his rod and just beat the donkey, just started beating it. And a miracle happened, and the donkey was able to express what he was feeling. We know that animals have thoughts, animals have emotions, and sometimes I wonder what our pets would say if they could actually talk to us at times. And, of course, I would have to imitate this. So I haven't done it, Dalton, in a long time.
But
that was Dalton would always want to hear this story. And so Balaam's beating the donkey, and the donkey says,
here comes.
I don't know if I can do it.
Oh, you can do it.
Okay. Hee-haw! Hee-haw! Why did you do that? That was not nice. I've been a good pet for you, a good donkey. Hee-haw! And then you come here and beat me. I don't appreciate that at all. Hee-haw! There goes my dignity again. I'll never be the sophisticated
Lorenzo. You're still the great Lorenzo.
Yeah. So anyway, now we have two more to go. I told you to pick five, so... Oh, no, we haven't played it yet.
Yeah,
said that story to illustrate the fact that we would tell Bible stories and all, and I remember always thinking, I hope Dalton remembers this when he gets older and that he will follow the same wonderful Lord that I follow, and he does, so I'm glad.
That's true.
So, again, I'm not going to play the... Okay, I'll let you choose. Do you want the version with the horns on it from the album, or do you want to hear the live version with my band?
We'll do the horns.
Well, thanks for insulting my band.
I'm not insulting your band. I just like a good horn. That's all it is. You gave me the choice.
I did.
You did.
Okay, here's As Old As Me with the horn section.
As old as me, I know it seems hard to believe. One of these days you're gonna be full grown with your own child on your knee. Just remember how much I loved you and all the times I hugged you, and I hope you still love Jesus when you get as old as me. Some things you never outgrow, some things you toss aside, some things you just lose interest in, and some things you garble your life. Just remember what I taught you, and do the things you ought to. Don't ever let the devil think got you when you get as old as me. Life's gonna rush by fast, like a rabbit.
Okay, that was As Old As Me, inspired by my guest co-host today, my grandson, Dalton Rhodes. I asked you to give me five, so give me the fourth one.
The fourth one's going to be Kalamazoo. That's probably the grooviest. I said the first one was groovy, but Kalamazoo's probably the grooviest of all of Lawrence Tuning's songs.
So is the term groovy back in vogue?
I'm trying to bring it back. I think I can do it.
Good luck. Good luck on that.
Nah, I think I got the influence. And it coming on this show, this is another big step.
Oh, you think so?
I think so, yeah.
Thank my grandson who paid a surprise visit to us from college in North Carolina. We live in South Carolina, for helping me out on the show this week. Dalton, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure too.
You're going to be a speech therapist and hear the whole world who listens to this. People do listen to this in other countries. They will be critiquing your speech as they listen to you. They're going to decide if you personally need help, if you need your own therapist, or if I think you pass with flying colors.
I just want to put on the record, I'm still early in the major, so I still have classes to take.
Okay. So, one last thing. What do you think of Jesus?
I think he's a real stand-up guy. I'm a big fan of him.
I hope you think more of him than that.
No, I love him. I think he's wonderful. He's done a whole lot for me in my life.
That's what I like to hear from my grandson. Okay, so thanks for being on the show. With this song, you can go out and rototill the garden for us.
I can't wait.
So
thrilled.
So what's your final selection?
Better Than That.
Better Than That.
Yep, that's the name of it. Better Than That.
I'm shocked that that's a song that you like. You actually have that on your what do you call it?
Apple Music? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's got Justin Bieber, but you don't listen to Justin Bieber.
I like Justin Bieber. I got Bieber fever.
Okay. So, but all these hip new songs, and then right in the middle of it, here comes Better Than That.
Yeah, you got to plug your Apple Music, by the way. All Big Paw songs and Apple Music and Spotify, it's all on there.
I thought it was Spotify, not Spotified.
No, it's not. No. It's not past tense. It's
you said Spotify.
Oh, did I? It's Spotify. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that. I keep forgetting. Yeah. Almost all my recorded stuff is available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple. So you can listen to it. You could even buy it for 99 cents a song.
Ooh.
So. I played this song to my friend in England. It says, "You could do better than that." I said, "What do you think of my new song?" And he turned and says, "You could do better than that." So I don't think he liked the song that well. But anyway, this is my request. Thanks, Dalton, for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Better Than That.
And the kickoff was at noon. Fans began to gather, and the band played out of tune. The new coach told the players, "We're standing on the brink. There's gonna be some changes made, starting with the way we think. Last week, somebody told me, last year we didn't do too bad. We ended 5-5. We gotta do better than that. Goodbye to the past. We can do better than that. I said we can do better than that. She was having a pity party down at the dairy bar. Tears fell on her Sunday. She said they repossessed my car. I've always been a loser. That's what I. Guess I shouldn't expect more, you know it runs in the family. A friend said you're pathetic, this conversation stinks. You keep on talking like that, and you'll become just what you think. You can do better than that, gotta get a new mindset. No excuses, no regrets, you can do better than that. Why settle for the minimum, you can win and then some. Say goodbye to the past. We can do better than that. I went to church last Sunday for the first time. Ask how long will you sit there on that fence? If you live a life of sinning, you'll reap some sad regrets. This could be a new beginning. Hey, you can live better than that. You can live better than that. Gotta get a new mindset. No excuses, no regrets. You can live better than that. Why settle for the better?
Weeks ago, Dalton called me up And he said the subject with various of his Christian friends at college was false teachers, false preachers. And he began to bandy about several names. And my wife and I just felt like we needed to caution him a little bit, that there are many people out there that we don't agree with. We don't agree with their methods. They're a little bit too wealthy to suit what we think a minister should be. But we cautioned him that it's very, very touchy and even dangerous to go around and calling this person or that person false unless we have a lot of biblical evidence. Dalton told me there was a guy out there on the internet, and his whole thing is to point out all the false teachers out there. And he mentioned this one and that one and the other one. And I said, you know, pretty soon he's going to attack who we all think is the greatest preacher of our generation, one of the greatest of all time, and that's Billy Graham. Well, lo and behold, he called a week or two later and said, guess what? He's going after Billy Graham now. And I thought about that, and this scripture came to me, and I want to read it to you about separating the false from the true. Everybody keeps looking for fakes. I heard about a guy who joined a church called Faith Baptist, and one of the critics says, well, if he joined it, he ought to change the name to Fake Baptist. So people are always looking for fakes. Nobody likes a fake. But Jesus told a very interesting parable. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. This is in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds? They asked. No, he replied. You will uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. Okay, let me tell you what the weeds were. The name of that particular weed was tare, T-A-R-E. So many of the older translations call it the parable of the wheat and the tares. A tare was a weed that looked very similar to wheat. You had to really look at it closely, or you could get mixed up and pull the wheat rather than the tares. And that's what Jesus said. Don't try to go all through the field and correct everything in the field and identify every tare, everything that's not quite right, everything that's phony. Let them both grow together. And there will come a time at the harvest when the harvesters will harvest everything and then will separate the true from the false. If you read the parables, you understand that there are many things that Jesus says about a time of separation. They're going to separate the wheat from the weeds. He talked about fishermen. After they catch a lot of fish, they later separate the good from the bad, but it doesn't happen right then and there. And so his disciples wanted to know the meaning of that. And on down in the same chapter, in verse 36, I want to read that to you. Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. his disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one." Let me just butt in there. Keep in mind that the weeds look a lot like the wheat. Going on, Jesus said, "The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So Jesus is basically saying, don't go on this huge crusade to wipe out everybody who you think might be fake. It's easy to pass the wrong judgments. It's easy sometimes to misdiagnose. And people misdiagnose people sometimes because of culture. They've got a tattoo. How can he be a Christian? Or they play rock and roll music instead of singing out of the hymns. We'd rather sing the old rugged cross. They're singing about the cross, but with a screaming guitar behind it. And many times it's just a cultural thing. And so if you go around and start pointing out and designating people as fake just because something about them doesn't appeal to you, you're really on dangerous ground, and we need to avoid that. Jesus said, let them grow together. Let them grow together. And there will come a time when God will make it plain who is really real, who is false. There's another verse in the Bible says that God will judge the motives of people's hearts. So sometimes people will look like they're doing everything right, but the motives were totally wrong. And there are people, even in our lifetime, who died with people believing they were godly people, and then later to find out there was a lot of wickedness going on secretly. So how do you decide who to fellowship with and who not to? I grew up in a denomination whose motto was, "We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one." Basically, they were saying, whoever is a believer in Jesus has come to Christ, we reach our hands in fellowship to them. Now, not everybody acted that out, because there's always something in us that wants people to come into our own little room. There's a verse in John 14 where Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Well, the Greek word for mansion is really rooms or dwelling places. So you could translate that verse, "In my Father's house are many rooms." There are many rooms in the body of Christ, many labels. I read just the other day that some pollsters, very reputable pollsters, have estimated that, I'm looking here to make sure I got this right, supposedly there are between, hang on here, between 30,000 and 47,000 Protestant denominations. Think of that. There are between 30,000 and 47,000 Protestant denominations. And Jesus prayed in the upper room that the people who would follow him after the disciples did their thing, way on in the future, that they would be united, that they would be one. And yet, there's between 30,000 and 47,000 denominations. Well, let me just say that in the Father's house, there are many rooms. There are many people who love Jesus and who are trying to follow him and trying to turn from sin, and they go under different labels. Even on our show, I counted it up yesterday. We've had the following kinds of people on our show from different rooms, different denominations. We've had Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, Presbyterian, non-denominational, Church of God, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Congregational, Independent Bible, Mennonite, Quaker, Reformed, Vineyard, Anglican. All of those are different rooms. But every one of those people, to my knowledge that we've had on this show, has a real walk with God, or at least appears that way. Jesus made it clear that it's going to be a mixture until he comes again. So people say the church is full of hypocrites. Well, I say, no, the church is never full, first of all. Secondly, it's got some hypocrites and some real. And that's the way it is, I think, in every, just about every church, every denomination. You have true Christians and you have fake Christians. And sometimes you don't know which is which. Jesus said, they're going to have to grow together. And as much as we want to have total purity, and as much as we want to self-righteously go through and cast this one out and the other one out, Jesus says, you could damage the real by going on a crusade to root out everything that might not be totally correct. Now, there's a difference between that and someone who is in total heresy, someone who denies the divinity of Christ or denies the Bible or is totally heretical. But there are many passages in the Bible that are open to interpretation, and we just don't always interpret that the same way. And you can't just lop everybody off that doesn't agree with every little doctrinal point you have. People have divided over everything from communion to just a whole number of things. What day of the week is the best day to worship the Lord? Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Should women be allowed to teach and preach? That's a big one. Or whole office in the offices in the church. Should we eat things that the Old Testament calls unclean, unclean foods? Should we keep the Jewish law regarding food? Or are we free to eat Hershey bars and that sort of thing? And it's just division after division after division. And yet Jesus says, I'm praying that you would be one. So is it possible to be one, united with someone who was in a different room, who might not agree with everything you agree with as far as interpreting the scriptures? I believe it definitely is. It's got to be. There's a place in the Bible where John came to Jesus and he said, Lord, we saw somebody casting demons out in your name and we told him to stop because he wasn't part of our group. And Jesus said, no, don't tell him to stop. Nobody who can do a miracle in my name will end up speaking bad about me. And he said, if they're not against me, they're for me. And so it's a real step of maturity when we embrace people of other persuasions, as long as they are true followers of Jesus. And even then, we don't know exactly what's in somebody's heart. I was reading the scriptures a while ago, and I stumbled on this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read it to you. I'm reading in the New American Standard Version here. You know I'm reading it because you can hear the pages rattling, right? Okay, this is 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. This was, to me, just incredible because it just settled some things in my mind. It talks about a foundation, God's foundation, like the foundation of a building, that has an inscription on it. It actually has two inscriptions on it. Paul wrote to Timothy, verse 19, he said, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal." And then he quotes what's written on the seal. These two sentences are written on the seal. "The Lord knows those who are his." That's the first one. The second one, "Let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness." So those two inscriptions are on his foundation. First of all, the Lord knows those who are really his. I don't know all of them. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised that some of the people we just knew would be there aren't there. And others that we didn't think would be there are there. Because the Lord knows who are his. But then he says, the other inscription is, "Let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness." Now that is one of the things, one of the criteria you can use to identify if somebody is truly following Jesus or not. Are they running headlong into wickedness? Or are they walking away from wickedness? And people are at different stages of maturity. But the thing to look at is, which direction are they going? You cannot follow Jesus and chase after wickedness. People don't like to talk about repentance anymore, but it is all throughout the Bible. One of the marks of the true follower of Jesus is that they are abstaining from wickedness. They're turning from sin. They don't glorify sin. There's no glamour in it. They don't want it. They're walking away. You cannot walk toward sin and walk toward Jesus at the same time. It just doesn't work. So Jesus did say, "You will know a tree by its fruits." One of the fruits is, are you rushing headlong into sin, or are you walking away from it? So they had this expression when I was a kid at my church. We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. Now, what does that mean, really? In my life, this is what it means. And some of you may disagree with some of the guests on the show. But this is my bottom line. Does the person love Jesus? Do they express that they love Jesus? Is the person trying to move away from sin? Are they repenting from sin? Not just the outward stuff, but I'm talking about greed and pride and racism and that sort of thing. Are they denying themselves and moving away from sin? And are they standing on the scriptures as the inspired word of God? If a person meets that criteria, then I have to reach my hand in fellowship to that person. Doesn't mean I have to move into their room, but I can embrace them and fellowship with them as my brother, as my sister in Christ. I went to a Messianic congregation one time, and of course that congregation did everything in accordance to some of the Jewish traditions, And yet they lifted up Jesus as the Messiah. Somebody asked me, what did you think of that? Wasn't that strange? I said, nope. Different folks for different strokes, because they are reaching people that are never going to be reached in the typical evangelical church. People are going to be drawn to that who have a deep sense of their own Jewish roots. So I don't have time to fight everybody. I just want to run my race, do what I'm called to do, and embrace everybody who loves and follows this same Jesus that I do. God bless. Thanks again to my wonderful grandson. We'll see you next week.
I don't want to be a part-time believer. Disciple on the side. I don't want to give just part of my life. No, it's got to be all or nothing. I don't want to quit in the middle of the journey. I don't want to run in the middle of the fight. I don't want to give just a part of my life. It's got to be all or nothing. Convenience. I don't want to swerve to the left or the right. I don't want to give just a part of my life. It's got to be all or nothing. Gotta be all